The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Chayei Sarah. In Chayei Sarah we have where Abraham has a son, Abraham and Sarah, Yitzchak, and Abraham tells his faithful servant Eliezer to go and look for a wife for Yitzchak. Go back to his home where he came from. And the Torah goes through a whole lengthy story. Now in the story, it states that the servant came to the city where he was supposed to go. Aram Naraim, Ir Nochor. And then he came to the well. It was towards evening. And the people were coming to draw water for their flocks. Vayemar, and Isha said, he said to Hashem, Elokei Adoni Abraham, the God of my master Abraham. Hakreino lefona hayim, v'asei chesed im Adoni Abraham. Let a chesed happen for me and for my master today. Hinei anechi nitzov aleina moim, uvenei san sheir yetzis lishav moim. Here I am by the well of water, the spring, and the daughters of the city are coming to draw water. So let it be that the young maiden that I will say to her, please lean your jug forward and let me drink. And she will say to me, drink. And also I will bring water for your camels. He had 10 camels. Then this will be a proof that this is the one that you have set aside. This is the maiden that you have set aside for Yitzchok. And then I will know that you are doing a great kindliness for my master. And this is what happened. Before he even finished saying this, so a young maiden came and she was very beautiful, and she went down to the well to fill up her jug, and the Eved, the servant, he ran and he said, give me a little water from your jug, please. And she said, Shesei Adoni, drink, my master. And she went and hurried and drew water for him and gave him to drink. And when he finished, she said, Gam ligmalecha eshov adim kilu lishtois, also your camels I will give to drink until they have finished drinking. And she did this, and then he knew that this must be the one, except Avraham made a condition, it must be from his family. So he asked who are her parents, and it came out that it was from Avraham's family. This is that story. The Rishayim, the early commentators in the Gemara, the Talmud, in Perigira Nosha, Chulin, the Tzarekei Amid Beis, Tesfus, and others, they ask a kasha, they ask a question. And from the Gemara there, they base their question, because the Gemara alludes to such a fact. Yes, how was Eliezer allowed to do this? This seems to be what was known as nichush. We have a parsha in the Torah, but the Torah explicitly tells us that we should not be menachshim, me'enanim. We should not be sorcerers, superstitious. We should not be deiris shimonim. We should not make different types of signs and rely on them. And here he was doing this. He was telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me a sign. And this should be the sign. And if this happens, then I know it's coming from heaven. And I know who to choose. If it doesn't happen, I'll know otherwise. The Torah tells us explicitly that we're not allowed to do such a thing. This is related to Avodah Zarah, to idolatry. The Rambam brings these halachos in Hilchos Avodah Zarah because we are believing in external powers. And there's a great discussion in the Rishonim because of this. And they asked another question also, because the Gemara mentions another similar case. And this is in the Nach, in Shmuel, Perek Aleph. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Dalet. The Torah tells us that there was a war with King Saul. They were fighting against the Plishtim. And Yehonasan, the son of Shaul, took his Nase Kalov, he took his assistant with his arms, and they went off in a different trail. They were fighting in the mountains. And as he was going off on this trail, he went into the mountains. He stood on one cliff, and he saw a whole group of enemy soldiers on the other cliff. So he didn't know whether he should have attacked them, fight them or not, because he was alone with his assistant, and meanwhile this was a large number of soldiers. So he said as follows, Hine anachno evri mal anoshim v'niglino alehem. He told his assistant that was carrying his arms, this is Basuches. He says, let's go up on top of this cliff so they can see us. And if they will say to us, Domu, stay where you are, ad hagi'enu aleichem, until we will come up to you, v'amanu sachtenu, v'lei na'ale aleichem, then we will not go attack them. And if this they will say, Alu Aleinu Bi Alinu Kinos Nam Hashem Biyadeinu. If they will say, come up to us and fight with us, then we will go up to them. Because Hashem has then given them into our hands. V'zeh lanu ha'os, and this will be the sign. So it seems like they asked for a sign from heaven. They said that we will make ourselves obvious to them and see what they respond. If they respond in this manner by saying, stay where you are, we're coming at you, then we won't start a fight with them. But if they say, come up here and we will fight with you, then we will go up. And we will fight, and Hashem will give them into our hands. As it happened, they said the second option, come up and fight with us. So Yonason said, let's go. Hashem has given them into our hands. And they climbed up. And they defeated them. Now, here is the same question. They're relying on some type of external sign. And we are told that we are not allowed to. As mentioned, there's a great discussion in the Rishonim. The Ran, in his Chidushim and Masechta Chulin, says as follows. He says, this is the way I interpret this. Shahanache nocha sha'osra teira hu ha'teles dvorim b'simen shein asvorim nesene shia behem gerim te'eles l'dover or mezik. This that the Torah said that we are not allowed to rely on simonim, on signs, on happenings. These are the type of signs that have no bearing whatsoever, no logical bearing whatsoever, on what we are want to do or what we do not want to do. For example, Kigain, the Gemara gives examples. Pitei nofel miyodei utzvi hifzik le'aderech. A person decides that he's going to go on a journey tomorrow. And as he's getting ready, he drops his bread. Or, as he's about to leave, a deer runs right in front of him. Where he says, this is a sign that I shouldn't go. These are the ways of the Amoroim, of the pagan idolaters. Because what does dropping your bread have to do if you should go on the journey or not? What does the fact that a deer ran in front of you have to do if you should go or not? When we say pagan, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist today. It exists plenty today, see. But different things, different applications. Black cat crosses your path, it's bad luck. What does this have to do with the decision that I want to make? So he says, this is what the Torah forbade. Aval elkeach simonim v'dover shahasvore nodash shehin meirin te'eles hadover. But when someone has a sign, and this sign has a logic in it, which has bearing on his doubt, on his decision making, ain't a nachesh. This is not nachesh. She called iske ilam kach. This is the way of the world. This is the way we always. This is our the way we have to conduct our lives. She areim eshim yoduk shomim leitze lederech vim lav eitze lederech ain't a nachesh shalom minogi shalaylam. This is like someone who says that I'm going to go on a journey tomorrow if the weather's good. But if the weather's bad, I'll postpone my journey. So what is he saying? He's allowing an external sign to influence his decision. That's a rational decision. Because if it rains and it'll be bad weather, that'll hamper his journey. If it's good weather, then it'll help his journey. He says, that's not relying on, that's not darkei emori, what the Torah forbade. And this is what happened with Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, or Yenison, the son of Shol. She Eliezer yodea hoyo shelohoyo mizvagin isho liyitzchok avinu ela hegenes lo. Eliezer knew. Eliezer was a great Talmud Chochem, the Gemara brings. He used to be an assistant Rosh Yeshiva to Abraham, the Gemara brings in Masechta Yuma. Help Avram teach Torah. And he knew that the wife of Yitzchok, that from them would come out the Beis Yisrael, the house of Yisrael. And Yitzchok is coming from the house of Avraham, who was the pillar of Chesed. So he knew that only someone who has a great deal of Chesed could be a match for Yitzchok. Therefore, he decided to test her with Chesed. See? If I see that she says, look, I'm in a hurry, I don't have time to give you water. See, I have a lot to do. Now it's time for exams. See, can't be bothered. Or there's the water, there's a lot of water, there's not enough water. Then he knows that's not someone for Yitzchok. But if she says, he tested her with a double chesed. First he tested her, he said, give me some water. And he says, and then, now that she might do, because I asked her, she wants to comply. But then he said, if she says on her own, v'gam gemalecha esker, I will also give water to all of your camels. Right, then we know she's a tremendous balas chesed. And then if she's also from the house, from the family of Abraham, then I know she's the one for, this is the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought me to, for Yitzchok. If she has such beautiful qualities, then I know that heaven has led me in the right place. So this is not relying on some type of simon, some type of sign, superstitious sign that has no rationale to it whatsoever. And the same thing with Yonason, that they wanted to attack and defeat the Plishtim. He and his Nasei Caleb Bilvad. He and just one other soldier, his lieutenant. So he used this strategy. He said like this, if they say, we will come, wait where you are and we will come to you. This means they're going to go on the offense. That shows that they're not afraid of us. If they're not afraid of us, he said, I don't know if we can defeat them. But if they say, come up here and we'll fight you, come up to Arab Cliff and we will fight you, then they're speaking defensively. Then I know they're afraid of us. And he writes that every soldier knows that if the enemy is afraid, then it's possible for two to defeat 20 or 30. So that's what he told his lieutenant. So there again, he was not expounding simonim of a superstitious nature, but rather that had a good logic and rationale to it. And when the Gemara says that one is not allowed to rely on signs, external signs, there it's talking about signs she'ain bam mamish, that have no value whatsoever, that have no rationale to it whatsoever. This is what the Ran explains. This same explanation is also in the Maral, in the Gorai here. But he says, "V'yira leimer." No, 1 second. I delay havi ki I gavnu nichus. This is not nichus. This is not reliance on superstition. Because he tested her with chesed, and if she's a balas chesed, then the seichel, then the rationale tells us that we should take her. And he brings this as the same thing in by Yonason. With Yonason was the same thing. He tested them to see what their morale was, if they were afraid or if they were not afraid. And the nichush that the Torah tells us that we are not allowed to rely on, that's on signs that have no rational value whatsoever. They have no influence on the decision which we have to make in with seichel or chokhmah. What are we dealing with here? We're dealing with achroas or odom, decision making. Whether they're small decisions or big decisions. This is perhaps the Iker Chayev Shul Odom. Perhaps the major role of a person in this world. He is constantly making decisions. Every day he makes dozens and dozens and dozens of decisions. Many of them small decisions. But often he has to make major decisions. Here we're talking about distinguishing the light from the dark. And there is the constant struggle. Should he decide in accordance to what his seichel tells him, to what his chokhmah tells him, what his intelligence tells him? Or should he decide, perhaps, in accordance to some other type of influence? If we will say it's a hunch, or it's an intuition, or external, some type of external influences or signs. And actually, a person struggles with this his whole life. What is the way of the Torah? Here we see that if a person is going to rely on external influences, external happenings, which have no rationale in them whatsoever, this becomes included in what is known as Darkei Emori Nichush, Nechashiv. But rather he has to go after his rationale, his intelligence. Now then we could ask a question. If a person is always going to go after his intelligence and his rationale, this seems contrary to being states that a person always should be Sim Bitcheinu B'Hashem. He has to place his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To place your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu means you should let HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide. If I am going to decide everything with my own mind, then I'm trusting myself, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is not a problem. The Marab Rims, in the beginning of Nesiv HaBitochen, the Pasuk in Mishle, Perek Gimel, Shlema Melech King Solomon said, B'tach el Hashem b'chol evovcho, ve'el binoscho al tishoi. Trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trust in Hashem with your whole heart, and do not rely on your own wisdom, on your own understanding. So the Maral says as follows, Ki af shetzorach la'aseis kol maiso b'chochme. Even though we are obligated, that all of our acts and all of our deeds, all of our conduct has to be done through chokhmah, through our wisdom, be'ein semchin alanes, and we are not allowed to rely on things beyond human wisdom, for example, miracles or signs. Kolmakom nevertheless al yishoyin al tfunos levad. Nevertheless, one should not rely on this alone. Leimar ki chokhmose yigorin la'aseis ma sheyotzeh. To say that through my wisdom I will succeed. Rak yiftach ba'ashem shuhu yetzeh machshavtei asher chofetz la'aseis el apayel. But he should trust Hashem and be mispalel. He should pray to Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring his deed and his act that he's doing with his own wisdom into fruition. What he is saying, and this is a summation of this whole problem, what he is saying, that we have to conduct ourselves with the greatest wisdom that we can. A person that does not conduct himself with wisdom, and that the Torah says is a ksil, is a fool. And we were not created to be fools. So we have to use our wisdom and use our understanding and use our intelligence to the greatest degree. Once we do that, we cannot rely on that. But then we have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what we have done, he should bring hatzlocha, he should bring success to. similar to this is that after all of the effort we learn in the Torah, all of the effort that Klal Yisrael went into building the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and when they built the Mishkan, the sanctuary, they didn't build it with miracles. They built it with artisans and with craftsmen and with artists and with goldsmiths and with silversmiths and with designers and whatnot. It was an enormous undertaking, and everything was precision to the inch. After all of that was done, they asked for a brocha from Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave them a brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless the works of your hands. And this, similar to this, is what Targ Munklis brings Parshas Ekev. That when a person is successful in business, and what he did with chokhmah, with wisdom, he shouldn't say, look what I have done. But he did it with his own wisdom? Yes. He's a fool if he's going to go and just throw his money into the market and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make it work. He shouldn't say, look at what I have done. But he should say, he should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving him this wisdom, guiding him on what to do, and blessing him the works of his hands. Now, to go into this a little deeper. Man was created with five senses. This is sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. An animal was also created with five senses. He also has these five senses. The fact is, in all of these senses, we will find that the creatures many times far surpass the ability of the human being. Not altogether, but you'll have animals that can see. An eagle, the Gemara speaks about an eagle, the Gemara speaks about a vulture, can see far greater distances than the human being can. The sense, the smell of animals is far greater than us, and so on. Not necessarily every animal will have five that are so strong, but individually. So man was created with five senses, and so were animals, so were the creatures. Man was given something that the animals were not, and that was his keah ha-chokhmah. He was given wisdom. Chokhmah bina v'das. That animals were not. Now it's through all of these senses and the wisdom that he was given that we perceive the world, that we touch, we taste the world. Heaven forbid if a person didn't have the five senses, he could not perceive the world at all. Now, what will be if a person does not use his chokhmah? He does not use his wisdom. How does he perceive the world then? Through his five senses. Comes out he's equal to the animal, because the animal also has the five senses. The fact is many times he's worse than the animal, because many animals have these physical senses greater than he does. So the whole dimension which makes man distinguished from the animal is not his senses that he can see. The animal also can see. Not that he can hear. Animals, creatures can also hear. Not that he can smell or taste, see or touch. But the wisdom that was given to him. And this gives him a whole different picture, a whole different approach, a whole different light to the world. So if someone goes around and does things which are totally beyond, without logic, without rationale, so he's walking through this world without his chokhmah. What's so great about that? That's how all creatures walk through this world. And some of them can do better without chokhmah than a man can. The fact is, many times they can. The Zeh HaKodesh writes, Tov v'chasi, come and see. A baby is born, you have to guard the baby that it shouldn't touch fire, or that it shouldn't walk into water, into a swimming pool. Animal is born, from the first day you don't have to guard it that it shouldn't touch fire, that it shouldn't walk into the swimming pool. Because man was given the wisdom, and the baby doesn't have the wisdom yet. And his five senses are not as strong as that of the animals. It is the chokhmah that was given to man that enlightens him from the darkness of the world. This means that if a person walks through life with wisdom, so he's walking with a lantern, he's walking with a light. If he walks through life without wisdom, merely relying on everything per chance, per sign, per charm, or whatever it might be, those are making his decisions for him, and not his wisdom, then he's walking through life in darkness. He's walking through the world in darkness. And that's what the Mishlei states, that Ksil b'cheshek helech. The wise walk with light. The fool, that's the one that walks without wisdom, b'cheshek helech, he walks in darkness. Now still deeper to go into this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the whole world seven mitzvahs as a guide, in order to know how to walk. Israel, he gave Taryag, 613 mitzvahs. They should know even better how to walk. These mitzvahs, this Torah, is not, heaven forbid, contrary to wisdom of the person. But it's the essence of wisdom. It's the greatest wisdom. As the Torah tells us in Parshas Veschanan, Ki hi chochmaschem uvinaschem bein agoyim. This is the greatest wisdom, the greatest understanding amongst the nations of the world. Now further, the whole world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave wisdom to understand the physical world. Im yesh chochm v'agoyim tamin. We see this great wisdom given to the nations of the world. To understand the physical world, look at the enormous discoveries of the physical world that are brought out in every generation. To understand the non-physical world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the nations of the world in a small measure. That's the seven mitzvahs. To Israel, he gave them that b'mida baruba, in a great measure. Now this is what is meant in the psukim in Parshas Veschanan. Pashit Veskanan in Dvorim Dalu Posukei Re'ei lemarati eschem chukim u'mishpotim. Moshe said to the Klal Yisrael, see, I have taught you statutes and laws. Kasher tzivani Hashem Elokoi, like Hashem has commanded me. Ushmatim v'asisem, guard them and do them. Ki chachmaschem u'vinaschem le'inei ha'amim, because this is your wisdom and your great understanding in the eyes of the nation. Asher yishmu neiskol hachukim ha'ele v'omru, when they will hear all of these statutes, they will say, rak am chochom v'novein hagei ha'godol hazeh. Only such a nation that is so wise can be such a great nation with this Torah. Ki mi goy godol asher le'alakim krevim elov. Who is such a great nation that understands Hashem so well and is so close to Hashem? They can call out to Him whenever they want. Mi goy godol asher le'chukim u'mishpotim tzadikim. And who is such a, where is there such a great nation that has such righteous statutes and laws? Like all of this Torah which I give you today. So this that Hashem gave us, the Torah, this was an additional dimension of wisdom. This is the essence of the greatest wisdom. Therefore one should not make an error, like many do, to think that this that we fulfill Torah is like a hirchus abalei taima. We fulfill Torah without understanding. We have to do mitzvahs, but we do not have to understand them. We fulfill Torah automatically. Rote, a superficial, hollow, ceremonial practice. Heaven forbid. If that's the case, what is the great chokhmah of the Torah? What is the great wisdom? What did I have to teach you? Moshe said, Lamarati, I've taught you. This, the nations of the world will recognize as such a great wisdom. When we look at the idolatrous nations of the world, do we recognize their practices as so wise? When we look at any of the religions of the world, do we stand back with great admiration at the great wisdom? And even the chukim, another error. Many think, all right, the mishpotim. Mishpotim are the types of mitzvahs that the sages say perhaps we would have enacted ourselves. They have a simple rationale to. You shouldn't steal, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't take someone's wife. But the chukim are the statutes which we would have never enacted and seemingly have no reason for. Are these to be fulfilled without any understanding? The Maral brings that the chukim, the statutes of the Torah, need more study than the mishpatim, because their reasons are so deep and because they are so difficult to penetrate. They need more labor and more study, and heaven forbid we should fulfill them as a superficial, hollow practice. And the proof he brings to this is explicit, because in Parshas Bechukeisai it states, in Bechukeisai Teilechu, if you will walk in my statutes. And there the sages darshan expounded Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. What does it mean, you shall walk in my statutes? You shall, what does it mean, walk? You shall labor to understand my Torah. So not only we were commanded to understand the parts of the Torah that are seemingly understandable, we were commanded to labor and understand the parts of the Torah that are seemingly impossible to understand. Why? Because the essence of the Torah is wisdom. The essence of wisdom is understanding. This is why the Gemara brings that when you see a Talmud Chochem, what are you supposed to say? The Gemara says, Areya Chachma Yisrael, when you see a Talmud Chochem, the wise of Israel, you're supposed to say, make a brocha, al shecholak me chochmosei lirei ov. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has given from his wisdom to them, to those who fear him. When you see an idolater, when you see people from all of the religions of the world, you don't say he has given from his wisdom to them. It's not wisdom. It's a religion. When you see a Talmud Chochem, you make a brocha asher cholak mechochmosei lirei ov, because Torah is not a religion, it's not a practice. But that you bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has given, imparted, states cholak, imparted from his wisdom to them. It's Hashem's wisdom. And there can be no greater wisdom. And this is what the Gemara and Seita, the Gemara and Seita says something which is very profound. If the Gemara wouldn't say it, we wouldn't have been able to say it. The Gemara brings a Daf Chof Beis. It says, Itmar Kona Veshona Veleishim Eshtamet Chochem. Speaking about someone who is ignorant in Torah. But it refers here not only to someone who's totally ignorant in Torah, someone who's learned Chumash, Kora, Vishona, and he's even learned Mishnah. But he never studied by the Chachomim to understand the reasons and the applications and the depth of the Torah. And Shimush Tamid HaChachomim, this is what Gemara is, Talmud. So he never did that. So he learned Chumash and he learned Mishnah. The Mishnah is not the application and the depth. It's merely the principles. So he learned this. And he fulfills Torah. But because he never studied the understanding of the mitzvahs, the wisdom of the mitzvahs, the rationale of the mitzvahs, so he never has to fulfill all of his mitzvahs with rote, automation. Superficially. So the Gemara says, this is the Gemara wants to say, this is what an amoritz is. Now, someone who didn't have the opportunity, so he can't help it. But here it's speaking about someone who, perhaps he had the opportunity, but he didn't take it. So the Gemara gives different definitions to this type of practice. So the Rahab Yaakov says, and the Gemara praises his definition, most of all, he's a magush. He's a magush. Gemara says, what's a magush? And why do you call him a magush? A magush is a superstitious sorcerer. This is what a magush is. Gemara says, why do you call him a superstitious sorcerer? Because a magush is inish ratin magusha v'leyoda mayomar. Magush, a sorcerer, or a person who bases a great deal of his life on superstition. So he does things, and he says things, but he doesn't have an inkling as to the logic and the rationale of it. Like the Ran was talking. See? He was planning on going on a journey, and he looked out his window, and a deer ran across the road. He says, I'm not going on the journey today. or he dropped something, this is a sign I shouldn't do it. Why? Because I dropped it. See. So he does things, and he says things, he doesn't know why. But it says this is the same thing. Someone who fulfills Torah merely because he's told to do so, and he doesn't know why, and he has no understanding of it, Hare ze magush. Therefore he's a magush. Rashi brings Leche Shamechashiv. He brings it, this is from the Parsha of the Sorcery. In other words, Torah cannot be an empty practice, but it has to be full with the deepest sharoshim, the deepest roots of wisdom. Now, in the Rambam brings in Perek Yud Aleph, Avilchas Avodah Zarah, Halacha Tes Zayin. After he writes all of these types of practices that we are not allowed to partake in, what we're speaking about, so he says, these are empty practices. And he says, they're of no te'elis, they're of no benefit. They have no truth in them. Ve'ein roi li Yisrael shem hachomim mechuchomim. He's writing along these lines. These are the extreme opposite of chokhmah, of wisdom. Because wisdom is based on the intelligence and the rationale that HaKadosh Baruch Hu crowned the human being with. That should dictate to the person what he should do and what he should not do. Well, these are empty. And if that dictates to the person what he should do or should he not do, then he's the total opposite extreme of what a chacham is. And therefore he says, Israel, which are supposed to be at the top of the ladder when it comes to chokhmah, should be the furthest away from these practices. He says, therefore, in roi li Yisrael shem chachomim mechuchomim. Therefore, it's not roi for Yisrael, who are the wisest of the wise, li Moshe b'havolim elu, that they should be involved in these empty practices. And to ever enter their minds that there's some benefit from this. Shnemar ki leinachesh b'yakov v'leikesem b'Yisrael. Bilam saw this. Bilam went to curse. And in the end, he couldn't curse. She says, I can't curse this nation. Ki leinachesh b'Yisrael, b'Yakov v'leikesem b'Yisrael. By Yaakov and Yisrael, there are no empty superstitious practices. Whatever they do is al pi chokhma, to the greatest wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. V'ne'emar ki hagoyim ha'ila she'ato yeri she'isom. And it states, the nations of the world, the nations of Israel that I have told you to drive out of the land, because al ma'enim v'al kesmim yishmua, because they listen to all of these signs and all of these practices. Ma'atol leikein, but you, tomim tiyem Hashem elokeichem, you walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, when it comes to the Balei Chokhmah, those with wisdom, and those that walk with Hashem, they know that these practices are empty. The Maral brings, he says, you always found these practices very prevalent amongst the illiterate, amongst the ignorant. If you read the books, the history books, you found that they were very prevalent amongst country folk. He says, why? Because it's the antithesis of wisdom. That's why it was always found amongst the ignorant. Now, in every generation, We find this struggle, sometimes to a greater degree, sometimes to a lesser degree. When there is such a struggle, we have to know how to define it. This is the struggle between an ultimate wisdom or between emptiness. If we're dealing with a generation of great wisdom, then there's not much of a struggle. When we're dealing with a generation that lacks wisdom, then there's a great struggle. And this is not only in secular worlds, this is even in Torah, so-called Torah worlds. The Maharal writes something very profound. It's a funny thing, but we find, and we find this very much in our generation, but we find this often, that people are impressed with miracles. If I can do a miracle, oh, people will be very impressed with me. See? Very impressed. I'm a miracle maker. He's a Baal Nefesh. He can execute miracles. He can do things beyond the nature of the world. He can bring down thunder and lightning from the heavens. Very impressed. The Maharal brings in the beginning of Parshas Matos, Rashi, the Torah says as follows. States, Vaidaba Meshel Rashi Amatas Livnei Yisrael Lemor. Meshes spoke to the heads of all of the tribes, saying, Ze Hadover Asher Tzivo Hashem. This is what Hashem has commanded. It states, Ze Hadover, Ze. Ze all the time means this, like you point with the finger. This. Ze Hadover Asher Tzivo Hashem. Rashi brings from the Chazal, from the sages. Meshen is Nabe Bekei Omar Hashem. Mesha prophesies by saying Ko Amar Hashem, and all of the prophets prophesies that way. What does Ko Amar Hashem mean? Ko doesn't mean this. See? Ko means Hashem said. It's more of a vague description. Where did Mesha say Ko? Ke Amar Hashem Kachatzei Salailu. Hashem said that at midnight he's going to come through Egypt and he's going to smite all of the firstborn. Now Moshe's prophecy was greater than any other prophet. So to show that, here Moshe prophesied with Zeh, this. The Rishayim explain what's the difference. The Gemara says that Moshe's prophecy was different than every other prophet's prophecy, because every other one was looking into Aspaklaria, the Lemi era, while Moshe was looking into an Aspaklaria, the Meira. Every other prophet, it was as if he was looking through a glass which was very hazy. Moshe was looking through a glass which was perfectly clear. This was the difference between Moshe's prophecy. This is the difference between Moshe's prophecy and every other prophet's prophecy. So therefore, when every other prophet prophesied, they said Ko Amar Hashem. Moshe prophesied Zeh Hadover, this. He saw it clear. The Maharal asks a very strong question on that. If that's the case, so why did Moshe in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, why did he prophesy Koamar Hashem, Bechatzeis HaLailo. Hashem said that at midnight he's passing through Egypt to smite the firstborn. Why did he say Ko? Everything he saw with such clarity, it should have been Zeh. So this he answers something very profound. He says it all has to do with what you are prophesizing. Every prophet prophesies miracles. No prophet prophesies Torah. Moshe, he prophesies Torah and miracles. How do we know that no prophet prophesies Torah? Because it states, "Ein anovi reshai lechadish." A prophet is not allowed to add or take away from the mitzvahs of the Torah. From Torah's Mesha. Only Moshe prophesied the 613 mitzvahs, the Torah. No other prophet ever did. What did other prophets do? They came to prophesy miracles. Kodesh Baruch Hu's decided that he's going to do this. He's decided now he's going to do this. And Moshe also prophesied miracles. Where? Bachatzeis HaLailo, midnight. He came through. He said Hashem is going... That wasn't from the mitzvah HaTorah. That Hashem was going to come and smite the firstborn. That was a single miracle that took place at that time. So he says, now what's the difference between the level of the Torah and the level of miracles? Now, popular belief is miracles. If you can say teach someone Torah, that's pretty good. If you can perform miracles, oh, that's first prize. Yeah? He says, to the contrary. He says, miracles are a far lower level than Torah. Why? Because Torah's nitzchius. The Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded is forever. The 613 mitzvahs are forever. They're unchangeable. In the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the nature of the world is unchangeable. He says this is the highest level. This that a miracle might happen, this is a quirk. This is a quirk happening. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it l'shah. He did it on a temporary basis because the hour called for it. To impress Paro, couldn't impress Paro with mitzvahs in Torah. Meisha came to him and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this. He says, who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So when you're talking to a tippish, you're talking to a fool, you have to impress him with frogs. See? You can't impress him with Torah. See? But that was never the level of Torah. And this is what the sages are saying. All of the prophets never came to the level of Torah. And Anovi Rishai Lechadesh. No prophet was allowed to add or take away from the Torah of Moshe. So what did they prophesy? They prophesied, say, oh sure, temporary things. And their level was much lower. And this is why they could only say, Ko Amar Hashem. That was the level of something temporary, of a temporary nature, a vagity. See? Moshe, who prophesied Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah are forever. They preceded the world by over 900 generations and they last forever and they're unchangeable. That was only Moshe. And to see that was with perfection. Therefore he said, Zeh HaDavar. I said, why did Moshe say, Ko Amar Hashem Bechatzeis HaLailo, when Hashem was coming to smite the firstborn and do the miracles of Egypt? That wasn't mitzvah HaTorah. That was the change in the nature. That's a much lower level. That's not the level of the Chokhmah HaTorah, of the wisdom of the Torah. So just for Nahaprechu, it's just to the contrary. Someone would come and they would perform miracles. Now this is how the other nations, the religions of the world came about.
because you had some person that came and he performed miracles. So religions of the world came about. We didn't come about because someone performed miracles. We came about because Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. The rest is good. Like the Rambam says, it's good for the fools. They don't understand Torah. You got to impress them with frogs and with locusts, see, and with thunder and whatnot. But for the Chachomim, there you need Torah. So we see from here, see, that if there's a great struggle between this, when there is, it's a sign of where the generation is. The what this becomes clarified, many things the sages say. We don't have time to go into at length, but for example the sages say, Ein semchin al hanes. Do not rely on miracles, but you have to rely on your seichel. And it states, Af ovesa olam, even the great patriarchs. It says, for example, the Gemara says that if you ever go on a journey, you should leave while it's light, and you should come in while it's light. Because once it gets dark, the journey has dangers. So then it says, the Chazal tell us, Afilo Ovese Olam. You might say Abraham, Yitzchok and Yaakov could say, I don't have to worry about dangers. Hashem will take care of me. No. Shows every time they went somewhere, they were very careful to wait until light of day broke before they went. And they came in before it was light. Before it was, while it was still light. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a seichel that we should do everything with wisdom. Relying on miracles is not wisdom. Many times it's brought, you would think, that if there's a shiloh, a question, a doubt in the Torah, or if two litigants come with a dispute, if someone is so great, he doesn't even have to hear what they say. He can right away decide who's right and who's wrong. The Gemara says, Chas v'sholem, heaven forbid. It states when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to judge the generation, he went down to see what they're doing. This was by the Dor HaFlogo, when they were building the towers. He went down to see. The Gemara says, from there he's teaching us that Ein Hadayin Rishai Lahayres Rishai Lodain Achiyiru. Judges have no right to render any decision until they see what's taking place, until they hear from both what has taken place. Ay Ruach HaKodesh. Wisdom is greater. The wisdom of the Torah is greater. In this way, they render decision through their wisdom. We had cases in the Gemara where one of the sages, or many of the sages, see, with wisdom, would come to a conclusion in a great doubt of halacha. And someone else would bring proofs against it, even from a baskel, even from a voice from heaven. The Gemara says, "In mashkich and bebaskel, you go after the wisdom of the Sanhedrin. You don't go after external signs and influences, and so forth and so on." We have a case where Abraham wanted to sacrifice Yitzchok It was aborted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him not to. He lifted his eyes and he saw there was a ram coming running to him. So he came to the conclusion that he'll sacrifice the ram in place of Yitzchak. All of a sudden the ram got caught in the bush. Now, Avraham could have said one of two things. He could have said, this is a sign I shouldn't sacrifice it. Got caught in the bush. He went and he untangled the ram and he sacrificed it. He said, this is the sultan that's stopping it. Why did he say it's the sultan? Maybe it was a malach tov, a good angel that was stopping it. The answer is because, I mean, if he's going after simonim, after signs, the answer is that he had come to the conclusion with his wisdom that he must sacrifice it. If he must sacrifice it, it's going to take more than these signs to stop him. We have a case just the opposite. Bilam was going to harm Klal Yisrael, and his donkey stopped. And he pushed his donkey forward. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked him. He says, didn't you see the donkey stop? It was an angel stopping it. What was the rebuke? He did the same thing as Avraham. Just because my donkey stops, therefore what? It means I shouldn't go. Just because the ram is caught in the bush doesn't mean I shouldn't sacrifice it. So what was the rebuke against Bilam? The answer is, the rebuke wasn't that he should darshan the signs. His rebuke was that Bilam knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew very clearly he was doing what was wrong. Al pisechel. And therefore you should have stopped. And if your donkey does stop, then you can realize if something's stopping it, it's the Malach HaTov, it's not the Sultan, because you knew what you were doing was wrong. Just like Avraham knew what he was doing was right, and if something is stopping the ram, then it's not a Malach HaTov, it's a Sultan. We have literally endless examples on this. The principle is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us our wisdom to use, and all of our deeds have to be in accordance to the greatest wisdom that we possess or that we can have access to. We must not look at signs. If we would look at signs, then we should all serve the golden calf. Because it states that when they made the golden calf, it was with tremendous success, very easy. Right away came out a golden calf. Says the sultan jumped in. We have seen religions in the world that have grown with enormous success into billions of people. It's a sign that it's true. And if we would go with signs, then none of us, heaven forbid, should be Jews. Because there hasn't been a nation where more obstacles in the world have been thrown in front of it. Their way has not been more difficult than Klal Yisrael. Yet we do not listen to the others and we keep going forward. Why? Because we're not paying heed to the signs, we're paying heed to our wisdom. After a person uses his wisdom, then he has to be mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give us Hatzlocha. If then there's a sign, after we have decided with our wisdom, this is the Derech Yilkubo, this is the way we should go, and we see signs, well then we can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's helping us. But the signs are not relevant, because we must go forward even without the signs. So this is what we learn from this parsha, the way the Ran and the Gorai explain the signs of Eliezer and the signs of Yonasan. I recall reading once from the Chofetz Chaim. The Talmud wrote on the Chofetz Chaim. It's a somewhat relevant to this, not totally, but somewhat relevant to this, that but he once, this was the very strong Lithuanian way. They built their Torah and their Yiddishkeit on wisdom. When you travel to other areas of Europe, there are different ways. And there, they placed a great emphasis on people that they felt had powers to make miracles and signs and so forth. They heard the great Chofetz Chaim coming. So someone once came up to the Chofetz Chaim and said, "You must have such a power in heaven. You probably can decree what you want to do there." She said, "Why?" "Because the sages say, Tzadik Gezer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. When the righteous decrees, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens, and he does." So the Chofetz Chaim, in his simplicity, answers, he says, "I'll tell you the truth. I'm more concerned, rather than what I decree HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do, I'm more concerned that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that I should do. See, this is my major occupation. See, not that I should influence what HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do, but I am doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do." If a person goes through life with this, then he has a security. Those who rely totally on their own wisdom, totally on their own deeds, this is a kefir b'Hashem. This is those that have no trust whatsoever in Hashem, and they deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What security do they have? Person's own wisdom against the whole world, what can they do? On the other hand, those who never rely on their wisdom, and they say everything will happen to them from outside, again, what security do they have? Anything can happen. But those who walk and dictate, what dictates all of their actions is the wisdom they were given, and the wisdom of the Torah, and the wisdom that they can have access to. And then they trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should lead them in the right way. Then they have security to face life with, because they're using the greatest gift that was given to the human being, and they're using also the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then they're able to face life. These are the principles that we learn from this parsha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.